joining us now, Newt Gingrich, who knows how to fight and expose this stuff, former Speaker of the House, joins us now. Newt, the common refrain you're hearing from the left is Republicans are trying to poison the electoral process with specious claims of voter fraud.
Look, if you're the Democrats, you have a simple principle. In a close election, you want every vote counted that you can manufacture. And anybody who doesn't want phony votes counted is either racist or anti-popular will, and you literally don't care what the law is. You don't care. You know, Governor Scott was on one TV show, and the person said, "Well, you've been governor for 8 years. Why didn't you write, stricter laws?" And the person was just the interviewer was ignoring the reality. The people in Broward County are breaking the law. It's not that the law is wrong. It's that it's being broken. And I think this is not a new thing. Al Franken lost on election day, and then magically they discovered several hundred ballots that just happened to all be for Franken. And at the end, he won. This is not a new behavior. It goes back in my lifetime, at least to 1960, when the truth is John F. Kennedy was elected by stealing Illinois and stealing Texas. I mean, no historian doubts that the 1960 election, which is one of the closest in American history, the states of Illinois and Texas literally were stolen by the Democrats. So there's a long tradition of this sort of thing. And part of the difference in the two parties is Republicans focus on campaigning, Democrats focus on elections. What the Democrats want to know is, at the end of election day or at the end of the count long after election day, do we have a majority of the votes? And they don't care whether those votes are legal or they're illegal. It's made very clear in Georgia. They don't care anything about how this gets set up. What they care about is who wins. And if you look at the lawyers they bring in, and the guy who was brought in, I think, to Florida was the same person who did the Franken vote count in Minnesota. These people are specialists in running over you. So when people start talking about, we really have to play fair, the people playing fair are going to get crushed by people whose only interest is going out and winning the election. And they don't care if they win with stolen votes. They don't care if they, I got involved in this in 1984 when the Democrats decided to steal a seat in Indiana. And they literally, we went out, it was a very narrow vote, and they did a recount. And when their candidate was ahead, they voted to stop counting, even though there were more ballots out, and even though our candidate would have won if we counted all the votes, they just literally voted to stop counting. And that was my first personal introduction to their willingness to cheat and their willingness to steal elections.
So I think it is imperative that Republicans, regardless of the vote margin in these races, have these instances of voter manipulation, the flouting of rules, the post hoc changing of the procedures. All of this must be documented, exposed, and if necessary, prosecuted or at least administratively changed, so that moving into 2020, at least what we've seen in the last week and a half, doesn't happen again. I mean, we'll be fighting other fires then, but at least the things that we've seen in this election should be dealt with and exposed. Do you agree, Newt? Otherwise, we might as well just close up shop.
And frankly, the U.S. Justice Department ought to be directly engaged. Anybody voting in a federal election who is an illegal immigrant is, by definition, tainting a United States federal election. Anybody who's voting who's already dead, and one of the great stories in this regard, the Atlanta Journal won a Pulitzer Prize in 1948 for covering the total theft in the primary, or rather in the general election through a write-in, where more people voted in one county than lived in the county. And they sent a reporter down there to go. They sent a reporter down to go step by step, than adults who lived in the county, I should say. And the answer they got, which is, I've always thought classic. One of the local guys said, "Yeah, we know that Mrs. Jones moved to Macon 22 years ago. But we knew how she would vote if she were here. And we saw no reason to put her to the trouble of having to drive down here. So we voted for her to save her the trouble. That's a true story.
Oh, my God.
And got a Pulitzer Prize. So there's a long and deep tradition of stealing elections in the Democratic Party.
Well, and one thing they did in Arizona, which I found out on Saturday night, is they were doing ballot collections as well at places like, I imagine it would be places like old folks' homes and so forth, which has also been outlawed in Arizona. It used to be common practice where people who couldn't get to the polls and hadn't mailed them in, they were collected in an area, and then someone would pick them up and then bring them to be counted. That's also illegal in Arizona, and McSally's people told me that happened. That was happening in Arizona.
Right.
So, again, no, this has to be
pursued.
Yeah, all this has to be pursued, all of it. Newt, there's another issue I want to get to. The Federalist Society has its annual convention in Washington this week, and you know, it's all the, you know, the big wigs in the legal community. And the New York Times has this piece out today about how Kellyanne Conway's husband, George Conway, has gotten a small group of people together, but including the founders of the Federalist Society, one of them at least, Peter Keisler, former acting attorney general for Bush, saying that Donald Trump has undermined the rule of law and that conservative lawyers have been too willing to protect the president from criticism because he's been good on judges. This is a very difficult situation, is it not, when you have Kellyanne Conway as the counselor to the president, and probably one of the only reasons anyone cares about what George Conway says is because he's married to Kellyanne Conway, and yet he's a very smart guy. I've known him for 30 years. We clerk for the same appellate court judge. But clearly there's a building insurrection against the president from within the Republican Party, in my view.
Well, I'm not sure it's building. I mean, look, there have been people who, from the day Trump announced, have bitterly opposed him and who are appalled, whether it's by his style, by his policies, by his personality. They haven't, I don't know that they've grown dramatically. I think that they hate whatever he's doing. In the case of Kellyanne, who I like very deeply as a personal friend, and I think she's very effective day after day on television. You know, her marriage, I guess, is her situation, and I'm sure they have very interesting conversations. But I think you're right. Nobody paid any attention at all to George if he wasn't exploiting his wife's name. And you know, if his last name was Smith, it'd be very hard even for the New York Times to manufacture a story. So clearly you can go out in the legal community, particularly among lawyers who were in the Bush wing of the party, who were appalled by Trump beating Jeb Bush and who didn't like the fact that Trump repudiated many of the policies of George W. Bush. And those folks, you know, form a noisy faction. But when you look at the polling data, they're a very tiny faction of the country. And the truth is, if you're a conservative lawyer and you want a conservative court system that follows the U.S. Constitution, this is the most effective president of your lifetime. And that's what they ought to recognize.
Well, it reminds me of kind of Jeff Flake and McCain and Ben Sasse and Corker. And again, they're all kind of odd men out. I mean, McCain's gone now, but they lived in the last year, in most cases, not all, but most cases, to smash the president. And that is their claim to fame. I mean, they are the Trump critics, so they're given, you know, very glowing coverage, I think, by most media outlets, and that they're being used as battering rams against the president. But this was, you know, their whole reason for existing in the last few years.
Well, I think you have to start with the reality that for a fan, you know, look, Trump, one of the reasons you and I like Trump is he's a genuine outsider. He represented a genuine disruption of the old order, both in the Republican Party and in the Washington establishment. Well, if you were the old order, that doesn't make you very happy. And a lot of what you're seeing, I mean, I saw one nominally Republican columnist, a historian by trade, who had written at one point, that he'd vote for Joseph Stalin over Donald Trump, which, if you think about how many million people Stalin killed, is just a deranged, almost psychotic comment. I mean, no normal, reasonable, informed human being could have made it. But he was so emotional, so upset by Trump, that he, you know, he had to say things that are stupid. So the other thing that has happened is, for several of these people, they're now stuck. They've said so many things in public that they've got to double down, because otherwise they're going to have to admit that they were wrong. And so it doesn't matter how good the economy is. Doesn't matter how well Trump is doing things overseas. It doesn't matter the brilliance of his judicial nominees, which, as I said, were the most successful in history for any conservative. None of that can matter, because these people would then lose face with themselves. So they just ignore reality and keep chanting their mantra.
Well, and most of them, but most of them, except Conway, they're Bush people. I mean, they're right. George W. Bush people. I mean, Conway is not. And Conway was, I believe, hoping to be Solicitor General of the United States a year and a half ago. So,
well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know him personally, and I don't know what motivates him. I'm just kind of cheerful about saying, my choice between the two Conways is pretty simple. I think Kellyanne is doing a great job. I hope she doesn't get discouraged by all this, and I hope she just continues to defend and explain the president, because I think she's very effective in doing so.
Newt Gingrich, love having you on. Come on TV soon. Give our very best to the ambassador, please. And I know Calista is doing great and having an amazing experience in the Holy See. Thank you so much. Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House. Stay there.
The Laura Ingraham Show.